Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org. Good morning. For Every Day is Earth Day today, we are talking about zero carbon. With me this morning, I have Jeffrey Rissman, who is the Senior Director of the Industry Program at the Energy Innovation, which is a nonpartisan energy and climate policy think tank. His work focuses on technologies and policies to achieve net zero industrial greenhouse gas emissions. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
So tell me about this job. You're a think tank, so that means you're nonpartisan, and what you're doing is all scientifically based, I assume. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we're a research firm. We research about technologies and policies related to clean energy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And we're nonpartisan. We provide our materials for free to the public and to interested policymakers of any political persuasion who want to understand how to accelerate a transition to a clean and prosperous future.
And this is very important because recent reports have confirmed that last year not only set the record for the hottest year ever, but it was followed by the warmest January on record. And I can attest to that because we're sitting here in Minnesota with no snow at this time of the year. And, of course, that's a trend that's being exacerbated by the human activity and, of course, the El Nino phenomenon. We're looking at the repercussions of this. And you say we need to get on the ball and do something about it. And I know you just came out with a book.
My new book is Zero Carbon Industry, Transformative Technologies and Policies to Achieve Sustainable Prosperity. It aims to be the definitive guide to the technologies that can accelerate the global transition to clean industry and the policies that can get those technologies deployed, commercialized, and scaled up.
Now, in your publicity that I was sent, it says you will provide a groundbreaking plan for transitioning the industrial sector to zero emissions. What is this grand plan, this groundbreaking plan, and how do you make it work?
Absolutely. Happy to chat about it. So you're right that transitioning to clean processes, including clean industry, is urgent and important to mitigate the harmful effects of climate change that you mentioned. The book assembles a collection of technologies and policies into this plan. First, it walks through what are some of the highest emitting industries, iron and steel, chemicals and plastics, cement and concrete. How do they work and what are some of the groundbreaking technologies that can decarbonize them? It looks at other technologies that cut across industry lines, like energy efficiency, material efficiency, electrification of heat, and more. And then key to getting all of these technologies deployed, and hence the plan for how to get there, are policies, smart government policies that can incentivize and make it profitable for industries to transition to clean manufacturing. Things like green public procurement, incentives for clean equipment, efficiency and emission standards, R&D support, and more.
The power sector and the transportation are the ones we tend to hear about a lot that dominate our conversations about climate change and that they're making all these issues. But the under-the-radar source of climate pollution is what you're addressing, and that's industry. How much of an impact does industry have?
Industry is extremely important to climate. Globally, industry is responsible for about a third of human-caused greenhouse gas emissions, including emissions from the electricity they purchase. If you ignore the emissions from purchased electricity, it's about a quarter of all human-caused emissions, which is still enormous. So either way you look at it, there is no way we can achieve our climate targets or indeed to stop global warming at all unless we have a transition to clean and sustainable industry.
How do you come up with these strategies? I mean, are you researching who's doing it already, or are these predicted things you would like to see happen?
There definitely is a lot of research that went into identifying these technologies and strategies. It's looking at things that are being done on the ground today, as well as things that are being done in either demonstration scale or at laboratory scale, but have a lot of promise to scale up. And it varies by technology. There are some, like industrial heat pumps, that are already commercialized and can be purchased today, but they're not widely used yet. And so a lot of the policy support there would be focused on making sure that it is profitable and effective to transition to heat pumps. In other cases where technology is not quite as far along, say in some cases you can change the chemistry of cement to be made out of cement-like materials that emit less carbon dioxide. There are various firms working on that, and it's discussed in the book, and policies to help commercialize and push that technology through to widespread use could be useful.
Seems like money is always an issue, and changing to some of these technology is going to be expensive. So is it going to require some of these policies that will help to promote this industrial transformation in response to climate changes?
Yes, policy is important and necessary to help accelerate this transition to clean industry. And smart policy can help level a playing field that today is unfair. Fossil fuels today have an unfair price advantage because they cause not only harms to the climate, but also harms to people's health. Thousands of people in the U.S. die every year from pollution from fossil fuels like particulates, nitrogen oxides, and sulfur oxides. So smart policy can help rebalance the playing field, give clean technologies a chance to scale up, which drives down their costs. There are an array of options for that. One of my favorite is green public procurement. Did you know that governments are major purchasers of industrial products like steel and cement, which are used in roads and infrastructure and public buildings? Government can set aside some percent of the purchases it makes, say starting with 5% of the steel, and say this steel has to come from innovative zero-carbon primary sources such as hydrogen-based steel. And then that gives a steel maker a guaranteed market, which gives them a signal that they can invest in a new production line to produce steel in that clean way. And from there, it drives down costs and scales up. Government can then say, we'll purchase 10% or 20% or 30% from clean processes. And then the manufacturer can start selling clean steel into the private market. So it can be very helpful in that way.
How do you get buy-in, Jeff? Because a lot of people will say, well, like you said, fossil fuels are cheaper now, so you want to go with the bottom line, and that's what we're going to do. How do you get them to buy in that for the long term this is really important? Because not everybody buys in.
It's a great question. For one thing, it's important to consider how efficiently energy is used and not just the price of that energy. So per unit energy, in the fuel, fossil fuel costs less than electricity today. But when you burn the fossil fuel, a lot of the energy is lost in heat, in the hot exhaust gas that comes out of the machine, and in formed water vapor from the combustion reaction. And so the price is not as favorable as it might seem when you account for the fact that fossil fuels are used less efficiently and have these heat loss modes that electricity does not. Additionally, there are other benefits. For instance, increasingly, governments and consumers are demanding products that are produced in a clean way. The European Union is implementing new carbon-based border adjustments that say, if you're producing dirty products and you want to sell them in Europe, you'll have to pay a tax at the border based on the amount of climate pollution that was emitted when you made the product. So cleaning up your production process will help you sell products more affordably into Europe. The United States has discussed several proposals to have carbon-based border taxes as well, and this will only become more common going forward, along with demand from consumers and businesses that want to procure clean materials and clean products for their customers.
Is there any place in the world that is actually doing some of these things and doing a good job of it that can be a model, or are we sort of at ground zero?
there are many fascinating models of different technologies that enable zero carbon industrial production. And they're from various places around the world. One example is in steel, where there are firms working to produce primary steel, that means steel from iron ore, without any coal or coke. Coke is a coal-based fuel. They're using hydrogen. It's a consortium called Hybrid, and the Hybrid can change the iron ore to metallic iron, which is the first step in making steel. There are examples elsewhere. For instance, in California, there are a couple startups that make thermal batteries, Rondo and Antora. Thermal batteries store heat, not electricity. They take electricity from the grid or from off-grid wind and solar when it is cheap and convert it into heat in an insulated enclosure. And then the heat can be extracted and used to power an industrial process that demands heat at other times, when electricity is expensive, since electricity prices fluctuate during the day. This can make it more affordable to transition to clean electricity.
How long of a process is something like this going to take? Because as I look at the information that I was provided about your groundbreaking plan, if everybody reads this and does this, it sounds like, well, our troubles are over. We'll solve everything. So how long does something take to get everybody on board, or how can we do that?
I think the clean industrial transition will happen at a different rates in different countries. Not every place will reach clean industry at the same moment. The countries and companies that are willing to invest now have an opportunity to secure technological leadership and a strong market position as these clean products are increasingly demanded as time goes on, and more governments, as we saw in Europe, and impose various requirements on cleaning up industrial production. It's hard to say a specific timeline in terms of, oh, it will happen in this particular year. I don't have a crystal ball. And that's one reason why the plan I outline in the book divides things into phases rather than years. Phases that indicate what should be the focus of a given country, depending on where they are. One of the first things to focus on is decarbonizing industrial heating, which is can be primarily done through using electricity. Energy efficiency and material efficiency are other great starting points. I do think that between 2050 and 2070 is a reasonable time frame for various countries to reach zero carbon industry. And I do mention the 2050 to 2070 time frame in my book.
How about some of the more third world countries? Are they going to be able to adapt?
This is an important question. And I actually include an entire chapter on equity and human development, which focuses on making sure that no communities and no countries are left behind. It's important to make sure that the transition to clean industry is profitable and sustainable worldwide. And lower and middle income countries have an opportunity to leapfrog over dirty industrial technology, which has had very difficult impacts on countries that have industrialized using these dirty technologies, and adopt clean ones straight off. So China, for instance, went through a rapid industrialization based primarily on coal use. And that caused severe air pollution and hundreds of thousands of premature deaths per year. Many years prior, at the dawn of the Industrial Revolution, the United Kingdom had a similar problem with terrible smog and health impacts. So by getting ahead of this, low- and middle-income countries can adopt the futuristic and production processes that are going to be the standard for how we make everything going forward, and avoid wasting money on dirty equipment and processes that won't be usable for very long.
So it sounds like maybe it's a benefit for some to be behind technologically now and be able to start clean, as you say.
Well, at least one could say that they may have avoided some number of deaths due to pollution emissions from particularly dirty industrial equipment. But ultimately, it's not a contest. It's not trying to divide up a pie and see who can get the biggest slice, because a transition to clean technology can benefit everyone. No one gains from premature deaths due to heart disease and lung disease associated with pollution. And no one gains from the harms caused to the climate and climate change. So it's worth being aware of who has more resources now and can invest first, and making sure that there are plans in place, for example, to share intellectual property and make sure that companies worldwide have what they need to adopt clean processes, and to do this in a way that is collaborative and benefits everyone.
Jeff, you are the Senior Director of the Industry Program at the Energy Innovation, and that is the name of the nonpartisan energy and climate policy think tank. Whose ear do you have? Who is listening to this research and the information you are sharing?
Well, we put out our research publicly. You can find it on our website at energyinnovation.org. I mean, we're based in the United States, so I would say our largest audience is United States readers, including a wide variety of people, whether it's members of the general public, policymakers, other non-governmental organizations, and more. And then the book, not all of the information is on energyinnovation.org, because the book has its own website. That website is zerocarbonindustry.com. where you can go to find out more about all the things we've been talking about today, and also where to purchase the book.
What I was trying to get to is by saying, whose ear do you have? Do the policy makers go to you and seek your advice? Are you on any committees or anything where they're listening and saying, let's take this info and do something with it? Or is this just for the public and put public pressure on them to make something happen?
Sometimes policymakers do approach us for advice, and as it happens, I was recently appointed to a committee, the Industrial Technology Innovation Advisory Committee. It's a committee at the Department of Energy that will help to advise the DOE, Department of Energy, on industrial technologies that can cut emissions and improve efficiency and achieve the important goals we've been talking about in the transition to clean industry. So I certainly hope that we haven't had our inaugural meeting yet. That's coming up next month. So I certainly hope that will be a valuable venue for conveying this information to policymakers.
Do you work with any universities, for example, to maybe help develop some of these technologies, or is that what you're doing yourself with the Energy Innovation Organization?
We don't engage in technology development.
Okay.
So that would be something that other firms, industrial firms, might do. We are more of a think tank that writes and releases reports and performs research to write the reports, but doesn't assemble machinery in a laboratory.
Well, I was hoping that somehow there's somebody that gets this information, because it's very interesting information. And like you said, it's a sort of a blueprint to help with this transition. But if nobody's reading it and actually doing it, it's just words on a page. So that's why I was hoping there was something that you could pin down to say, yes, people are doing something, actually.
Well, the book has many examples of people actually doing things in the real world, deploying the technologies, which is what ultimately impacts emissions, as well as examples of real world policies. I mentioned the green public procurement. Mm-hmm. The book describes a number of green public procurement systems that are in place in various countries. So I think, fortunately, there are real world examples of all of this. And also, in terms of getting the word out, I want to thank you for helping to share this knowledge of that decarbonizing industry is possible, it is important, and where people can go to get more information about it. It's all a team effort between the scientists and engineers who develop it, researchers like me who compile and publish information, journalists and radio hosts like yourself, policymakers who enact the policy. All of these are important pieces in achieving the change we want to see in the world.
Well, people who listen to this program generally are folks that are concerned about the environment, climate change, and things like that. So I'm wondering if they read this book, will it give them some information that maybe they could talk to their legislatures or talk to their universities or whatever to help share this information and maybe put a little pressure to make something happen?
Absolutely. The book has a number of chapters on policies that listeners can take to their legislators and their representatives and say, we're interested in this. We want to see a program that promotes clean industry in our communities. We want to see high quality jobs that cut and programs that help manufacturers cut pollution, which improves the air quality and health of me and my family. And here is how to do it. Here is a blueprint. Here is a set of four or five policy ideas that I want you to get behind and enact for the benefit of my family and my community.
So again, tell us the title of the book and where we can get it, so if any listeners want to actually do that.
The title is Zero Carbon Industry, Transformative Technologies and Policies to Achieve Sustainable Prosperity. You can find out more on the book's website, zerocarbonindustry.com.
Anything else we haven't covered, Jeffrey, that you feel is important to make sure people know?
I just want to thank you for bringing attention to this important topic of decarbonizing industry. As you said, it's an under-the-radar source of pollution, but it couldn't be more important. And thank you for helping highlight that on the show.
I want to thank you. It's Jeffrey Rissman, who is the Senior Director of Industry Program at Energy Innovation, a nonpartisan energy and climate policy think tank who just came out with this book, Zero Carbon Industry. I want to thank you for your time.
Check out our website, or we have a mailing list as well at zerocarbonindustry.com for more on all of our forthcoming work.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Every Day is Earth Day is supported by Minnesota Valley Federal Credit Union. With two locations in Mankato since 1934, it pays to bank where you're part owner, member NCUA. More at mnvalleyfcu.coop. And Every Day is Earth Day is also supported by members of the Executive Board of the South Central Minnesota Clean Energy Council. Find out more at smcleanenergy.org.